Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsibility for the 23rd of Cheshvan. And today we're going to discuss Rav Avadya Yosef's views about, it's really about a couple of things. It's about buying a baby animal, but it's fundamentally and primarily about believing a non-Jew about a halakhically relevant fact. It's from Yavia Omer, the seventh volume of Yavia Omer, Yeredeya, the first Siman. And the question was, and it's going to raise all sorts of other issues, but that in slaughterhouses, they would, from long times ago, they would buy animals, and they would shecht animals, young animals, gedayim utlaim, like baby sheep and baby goats, when we don't know if they've lived to 8 days. And the tradition was, we're going to get into a discussion whether this is a problem derabbanan or d'oraita, whether this is a biblical or rabbinic issue. We'll get to that later in the tshuva. But the question was whether or not you could rely on the non-Jew selling it, who's not aware of why you need to know, but he's just talking about the age of the animal. And talking about the age of the animal, says that the animal is already 8 days old. So the seller says the animal's already 8 days old. There are also some signs on the animal. So that's going to be another question about how, to the extent to which we can trust signs on an animal that we have about how animals mature. So this is from the 23rd of Cheshvan, Tafshin Lamed Tet of 1978, when he was the Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel. And that's the question he's been asked. So he points out that there's a Tshuvas HaRashba where it says that we don't trust Eidut HaGoy Eino Klum, that the testimony of a non-Jew doesn't count for anything, and the only place where we trust or allow ourselves to trust a non-Jew's testimony or his saying things is what's called Mesiach Lefi Tumo. Now, Mesiach Lefi Tumo means that he's talking by the way, meaning that to the extent that he knows we need this information for some purpose, that becomes a significant problem because we're not confident that we can trust them not to, they don't have that manut in halakha, we don't trust them halakhically that when they are calculating, when they intend to say something to us that and to bear testimony for something that we need to know about, there we don't trust them. But where they're Mesiach Lefitum, where they're just talking, they're just telling a story, and they don't necessarily realize the importance of the story, or the value of why the story matters to us, so then we can trust them. So the Rashba said, it's not in general that we can trust them, we can only trust them about Eidut Isha, that if a woman's husband has disappeared, and this non-Jew is Mesiach Lefitumo, in that he says something that will let us to understand that the husband has been killed, so then we're allowed to trust them. That would especially apply in our case, says Rav Avadya Yosef, because the non-Jew is certainly wants to be lashpiach mekcho. He wants to improve his merchandise, meaning an animal that's slightly older and has had more time to develop is considered a better property, is considered a better animal to buy, and therefore you'd buy it for, you get more money for it. And so he has reason to lie as well. So it's two things. We don't trust them about the Rashba. We don't trust them about things in general. And I'm sorry, and the Rashba says, and also in case where the non-Jew has a personal reason why it would be better for him to give a certain, say a certain thing rather than another thing, then all the more so that we don't trust him. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins it as well. So now the Taz in Yeredeya, where the Shulchan Aruch did it in Sima Tetvav, wrote that he doesn't understand quite because it's a sfeik. So then Rabbi Yosef, just to know, gets into a whole series of questions about sfeik. Sfeik is the halachic rule that if we have two doubts about something, and they are separate doubts, and that gets to be a whole question, but if we have two separate doubts of an issue, we're allowed to ignore the issue. So if we have a doubt about whether the non-Jew is telling the truth, and then a doubt about whether the animal is whatever, if they were separable doubts, that would be a sfeik. And aside from that, it's also what's called a davar sheish lo matirin. Davar sheish lo matirin is if you have something that will necessarily become mutar at some point. So, let's say when an egg is born on Yom Tov and there's a problem with Hachana there, so you're not allowed to use it the day that it's born for various reasons, whatever the issues are. But the point is that the next day it will necessarily be mutar. So that's called the Davar Sheish L'Matir. So anything which is not allowed now but will necessarily become mutar, that's true of this animal as well. This animal, we don't know that it's lived for 8 days, right? But it's the least it's lived for is 1 day. So in 7 days from now, for sure, it will have lived 8 days. So that's called the Davar Sheish L'Matir. So that's also the discussions in this tshuva, and I've left them aside in the name of time, because I when I find these tshuvot, usually I take tshuvot of only a certain length, and then every so often I'm tempted to take another tshuva, and I have, while I was compiling these tshuvot, I had felt like I hadn't seen Rav Yosef's tshuvot very much, and therefore I went through a period, and this is sort of, I think, towards the tail end of our period, where every time I saw a possibility of Yabia Omer with a date on it, I would give it. So I've a little got over that, but I found this tshuva and I was very interested in it, and I think it says important things, but I'm leaving out important sections of it. So there's a section on Sfek Sfeka, a section on Dabar Sheish L'Matirim, on the double doubt issue, and on the question of something that is now not mutar, but will necessarily become mutar in the future, what we do about that. But I wanted to think about the Mesiach Lefi Tumo issue. So the question of Mesiach Lefi Tumo of a non-Jew who is just talking, and he doesn't realize this even is what he's saying, and can we trust him there? So the Prima Gadim had pointed out that it's an Akko Mesiach Lefitumo, it's a non-Jew who is Mesiach Lefitumo, but says we shouldn't be able to trust him, that it's already 8 days old. I'm sorry, he says we probably should. He doesn't understand why the Shulchan Aruch says we shouldn't, because he thinks we probably should, because it's only a Drabbanan issue, because he says, Damrin Uki Ha'em Bechezkat Me'uberet, V'hashte Yalda. I'm sorry, I got that wrong one more time. Here's the point. If it's Drabbanan, if it's a rabbinic issue, you would think that you'd be allowed to trust the non-Jew. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin, we're not allowed to trust the non-Jew. Prima Gadim says, I understand, he thinks that the reason why we would say you're not allowed to trust the non-Jew, even though it's a Drabbanan, and I would have thought you're going to trust him, is that we have another issue here. And the other issue that we have here, says the Prima Gadim, is Uki Ha'em Bechezkat Me'uberet V'Hashte Yalda. That maybe you should say that we know the mother was at some point pregnant. If the mother was... So if you think that the mother has a chazaka, the mother of the animal has a chazaka that she was pregnant. Now, chazaka in halacha means that unless we know, that once we have a situation established, we assume, sort of like a halachic rule of inertia, that unless it changes, that it is what it was. So therefore, we should assume that we see that this animal has been born, so that means the mother animal's pregnancy has ended, but we will in halacha assume it only ended once we're required to, once we absolutely know that it's ended. So that would mean maybe the baby was born just now. Right? That'll be a halachic presumption about chazaka. That was Prima Gadim's suggestion. So Rav Yosef says, "For Heveinu Yeshuas Yaakov," that it's different here. That shouldn't work here. In other words, Prima Gadim had a question: why is it that we're passing this is prohibited? We can't trust a Mesiach Lefi Tumo. We can't trust a non-Jew talking, just not realizing what he's saying, because it should be a Drabbanan, it should be a rabbinic issue, and since it's a rabbinic issue, we should trust a non-Jew in those situations. Prima Gadim said, even though it's rabbinic, maybe here the problem is you have a chazaka of the mother. So the Yeshuas Yaakov said, that doesn't quite work, because we're not talking about the mother, we're talking about the child, and not about the mother. In other words, he's claiming that the chazaka that applied to the mother, the assumption about her time, about her situation, the knowledge of her situation that we assume had not yet changed, right? That we don't apply to the child. We're not required to try to apply to the goat or to the kid or to the land that we have in front of us, and therefore there's no issue of the chazaka there. Meaning, if we were to assume that, I mean, the Prima Gadim was sort of suggesting, if I assume this kid has been born 8 days ago, that means I'm assuming the mother's pregnancy ended 8 days ago, and that goes against her chazaka. Her chazaka was that she's pregnant, and halachically, if we don't have any other knowledge, we assume that chazaka continues. So it says the Yeshuas Yaakov, I don't think you have to think of it that way, because they're two separate circumstances, and you're not necessarily required to link them together. And so too, says Rav Ovadia Yosef, that there's a Rashi in Kiddushin about Yanai HaMelech. So there's Gemara in Kiddushin. It's a Gemara that, bears discussion. It's about Yanai and his decision to kill all the rabbis of his time and things like that. It was part of that Gemara, there had been a claim raised about Yanai and whether he was legitimate or not, meaning whether when his mother got pregnant with him, who she had been seeing at the time and things like that, whether he was able to really be king. It was all sorts of discussions there in that Gemara. So then they had a question about that in the investigation. It turned out that the rumors weren't true and he got angry and that's why he killed them. In any case, the point is that Rashi there says, Dahani mili ilu atya ihi. If she had come into court and the discussion about what she had done or not done, and the question was whether she could marry a Kohen after whatever after she had relations or not had relations, whether we would have trusted enough to say that. But the child, Yanai, he doesn't have a cheskes kashrus from his mother or not a cheskes kashrus from his mother. So Rashi there basically says that too. When we treat children, we don't treat them the same as we treat adults and as the mother. And therefore, they're separate chazakot. And then even according to Tosfos, who disagrees, and Tosfos there says, no, it's not true that the mother's condition or the mother's status halachically does affect the baby because they're obviously linked. They're obviously the same exact chazaka. But Rav Yosef still says you could say that it's different over there because the mother also has to be judged at the same time because we have to figure out the lineage of the son. In the case of Yanai, we'd have to know who the father was. We have to know if the kosher nivala, if he was somebody who she was allowed to have relations with. So there, the father, the discussion of the child necessarily affects the discussion of the mother, which is not true of an animal baby. This same question came up in another context. The Rav Yosef points out, he said he saw a tshuva in Shu'at Torah Chesed, where he writes about the smak had written, so the smak is a much earlier, is a Rishon, and he had written about the situation where a mother, a woman, has a child, and we don't know if the child is born before the end of Shabbos or not, or before the beginning of Shabbos. So he says, the child is born on Shabbos, but we're not sure that the beginning of the birth, or enough of the birth hadn't happened, the head having come out a little bit, enough that the bris would not be on Shabbos. We don't know if that happened. So we say, Yesh lalechet achar chazaka. So the smaket said we should follow the chazaka and assume that she hadn't had the baby yet because she's pregnant. So the Torah Chesed had said he's not sure that that's true. He said yesh lefak fake. He had his doubts. Shemi kevan. The Torah Chesed says he's not sure that that reasoning works because you can say that once she Yashvala Mashper sort of went into the birthing chair, right, or got in the stirrups, however that particular culture or that particular medical atmosphere has women give birth. Once she started that, he says it's already itra chezkat meuberet. She's not really fully pregnant anymore, and therefore you can't say that we would have to assume that the baby wasn't born till later because she was pregnant, because we already know that it's a chazaka that's going to end one day. It's a situation that's going to end one day. And once that's true and an event occurred that would lead it to it ending, that we would think is the process of its ending, then the chazaka has gone away. We no longer have to worry about, we no longer have to work on the assumption the chazaka continues. So therefore, he said, it's not clear to him that you'd have to assume the baby was born on Shabbos. Then he further says, and since we're talking about the baby, whether to give it a brit milah on Shabbat, he thinks it's only about the baby, so that's the same shavara, the same idea that we had earlier. And so the Torah Chesed is another example of somebody holding that. And therefore, if you can, so that's why all that together means that Rav Yosef is saying we don't tend to rely on the non-Jew. We don't tend to rely on non-Jews, even if they're Mesiach Lefitumam, outside of the realm of women whose husbands have disappeared. So he's got to look at other things. So the first step was, and I think I don't know why I'm almost endlessly fascinated by this question of a guy of a non-Jew who is just talking, just telling us stuff, just revealing information when we are in halacha and are not allowed to accept the words of the non-Jew and their testimony of the non-Jew and the ideas that he's sharing with us, even though he has no intent to shape our lives in any way, and yet we might not be allowed to believe him. But here there were other factors at play as well, because it was well accepted that lambs and kids developed in certain ways. So he wants to know, maybe we can trust that. So if the halacha is you can't shecht an animal, you can't slaughter an animal until it's been 8 days old, if you could have some physical manifestation of age that was fully reliable, that would be good as well. So that was the question as well. So there was an accepted assumption that an animal that's 8 years old, so this goes back already to Rabbeinu Meir HaMe'ili, who's old, who's a Rishon, so it's a while back, and he wrote that he'd already heard from the people who raise animals. So this is now, a non-Jew is going to give him information, but this is not Mesiach Fitumo, not Mesiach Fitumo, because this information is not directly relevant to a particular halachic question, halachic issue. So the question was, she'im yesh levlad sheva shinaim, if the baby, if the kid, if the lamb has seven teeth, then it's got to be 7 days old, right? That it grows a tooth a day, at least not necessarily a tooth a day, but that it, if it's got 17, it's got to be 7 days old. And for the next day, you can be sure that it's 8 days old. V'zeh davar baduk u'menusen. It's well tried and well known. The Meiri wrote that as well, that over that 17 means 7 days or more. And he also added that he had heard that as long as the animal has toleti boro, I'm not sure if it means like its placenta is still coming out, but there was another sign that it had not yet been 8 days, but the iterate said that it could happen for as long as 30 days, so that wasn't going to be a well-established sign. And the Radvaz in a tshuva had that in Yerushalayim. So the Radvaz is in the late 14, early 1500s. The Radvaz, so he says in Yerushalayim, their custom was to allow shechting animals, and they rely on the general principle that anything that has these teeth must be over 8 days. And even if it's the non-Jews who are saying it, we rely on them for this purpose. And the reason the Radvaz gave for it was not only that it's not on a specific issue, but also he says a milta de avida leigluye lo mishakra inchi, on things that are easily found out. So that's a whole nother area that's going to allow trusting non-Jews in halachic matters. One was for edut isha and Mesiach Lefitumo, that it was when it was a woman whose husband has disappeared, and the non-Jew is speaking off the cuff without any awareness that it's testimony. And now it's also, if it's any issue that's going to come to light eventually, what the definition of that will be is an interesting question. But if it's going to come to light, and people will know that you're lying, then people don't lie about that as well. In our days, I'm not sure you could trust to say that about everybody, but in general, maybe it's probably still true, but you'd have to examine that carefully. But in the 1500s, Yerushalayim, they relied on that because they knew that's how people worked, and therefore, and everybody really agrees, this is the way that animals develop. So if everybody knows it, then you can rely on it. And also, V'Erich Lechem also reports that he's heard from experts in the field that if its teeth have grown, and then he quotes a Pri Chada, and the Pri Chadash quotes it, and the Pri Chadash writes, you can check the horns as well. If the horns are hard, such that you can't puncture with a fingernail, meaning when they're soft, you can, if you put your fingernail on it, you can make a dent and an imprint on it. And if the horns are hard enough that you can no longer do that, then you know that it's grown 7 days. So meaning it's really very baby animals that have that possibility, so that's another sign. But he says, but you really have to check the teeth. And the Knesset HaGdola in Yeredeya wrote, Vishamati from a shochet mumche, from an expert shochet, who he heard it from his teacher in shchita, right? Rabbo hamumche, his master in shchita, im rosh hagviya adom, that if the head is still red, it means it's less than 8 days old, and if it turns white, the top of the head, if it turns white, then it's more than 8 days old. And the pre-Torah cited it, but then he concluded, achsiem shelem aseh. You can't really trust any of these signs, so that's going to leave us in a problem because we're going to say you can't trust in these signs. Gam b'shut beit Avraham she'ainly smoke. The shut beit Avraham said also that you shouldn't, that you can't rely on these things. Ki hativiot bazem mishtanot lefi hazmanu lefi haratzot. Because nature changes according to different times and different places. So if you're going to say nature changes different times and places, you can't write it in Shulchan Aruch. And this comes up, I think, in other areas as well, but we don't always think about it. But you can't, he's saying in this situation, you can't say a paragraph of Shulchan Aruch, there's seven teeth, it's 7 days old, and therefore you can rely that the next day it's an eight-day-old baby, or it's an eight-day-old animal. Or the horns, once they harden, you can't harden enough that you can't dent them with your fingernail, then already they're going to be okay, right? You can't do any of those things, he's saying. You can't make them absolute rules because things change at different times and places. That would mean then, in every place that you are, you'd have to investigate what are the signs that the people of that place and the people who raise animals in that place know, then you know what's going on. So Rav Yosef writes, however, he says, he thinks, ho'il v'ro v'ladot b'nei kaiba, most animals that are born, end up living and are B'nai Kaima. So the problem with the 8 days thing is that you're worried about shechting a nafel, an animal that was born that's not going to make it. So if you have an animal that's born and is not really well formed, and if we'll make it, we're not allowed to shech such an animal and eat it, then that's the problem that you get into. So before 8 days, we're not sure that it's the same way that halakhically, for other purposes, a baby is not considered a human baby. It's not considered a full Ben Kaima or Bar Kaima. It's not considered, we're not sure that it was fully formed in the womb and therefore as well is a child that's meant to, that is going to live until after a month. And that has halakhic ramifications in various tragic situations. But whatever it is, that's not our issue. But that's the issue with an animal. We think that before 8 days it has that situation. So and that's the problem. So here what we have is, we have the testimony of a non-Jew, and we're not sure how we can rely on that. And then we have the idea of various signs in an animal that everybody agrees are accurate signs as to the age of an animal. So Rav Yosef says, since most animals do end up living, right? Most animals are B'nai Kaima, are fully formed when they come out, and therefore they're of the type that should live. So if something happens later on that they die, it means that, doesn't mean they're a nafel, it means they're well made and things like that. Even though if you were to say that some animals, such animals, bring the right simanim, I'm sorry, some animals of any sort, grow the teeth, you know, quicker. So you find an animal, let's say I could find small percentage of animals who have 8 teeth after 3 days or 4 days or 5 days, so therefore I shouldn't be allowed to slaughter that animal. But if you have the idea that most animals are not a nafel anyway, most animals are well-formed enough that they're going to live full lives anyway. And second, that the general knowledge is that simanim only appear, these kinds of things only appear in animals after 8 days. So those things go together, he says, then it's a double miut. It's like a sfeik. It's like a double minority. There's a small minority, a minority of animals that don't live beyond 8 days, even though they were born, and we think they should live. And there's another small minority of animals that might bring their simanim. They bring their simanim before 8 days. So those are two separate miyutim, two separate things. So Rav Yosef is saying to think that both have come together into this particular animal, we're not required to think that. Even in a place of chizkat iser, if the only thing that we're worried about, meaning even if we were to include the fact that the mother has been pregnant, and we would tend to assume that the mother animal would stay pregnant until we know that it's different, so you might think that would affect us. Nonetheless, given that it's only a double minority situation you have to worry about, he thinks we're allowed to ignore it and not to worry about it. And then he goes on and says, but that would only be true, theoretically, if the animal was, if the problem was Dirabanan, but if there's a problem D'oraita of a Suffolk Nafel, then the fact that the general simanim shouldn't work at all. It's only if it's Dirabanan that they would tend to work. And the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'achalos Asuro seems to say that this is an Isur Torah, that we have a problem, that we're not sure that when you have a nafel, eating a nafel would be an Isur Torah. And the Avnei Nezer also thought so from the Rambam, which is disagrees with the Tosfos. The Tosfos thought that even according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whatever is in the Gemara, it's a rabbinic prohibition, not a biblical prohibition. So it's rabbinic prohibition, that would mean we're allowed to combine the simanim, right, the signs, with the fact that most animals are born in it and make a double minor, a double miut, and all those kinds of things, right? That's the way it goes. But then he goes on and he says, Rav Yosef, he also saw that Rav Shmuel or Shlomo Landon Shut Shivat Zion was asked about a Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda B'Yehuda said that when you want 7 days for an animal before you can use it or eat it or take care of it, or shechtem, so you could eat it, and then the Noda B'Yehuda thought, you don't need eight la'eight, you need 7 days. And the Noda B'Yehuda said that you can have not only 7 days, not seven full 24-hour days, meaning halacha always, whenever you talk about a period of needing a certain amount of time, so it could either be that you need the whole day, 24 hours, and then if I say you need to be the 8 days, it means it has to live 7 full days, or if it's born on a Sunday, in the middle of the day, that by the end of Shabbos, by the end of Saturday, that's 7 days, even though it's not 7 full days. So we just said you can do the latter in the case of animals that are born, you know, that we want an animal to be 8 days old, because he says it's got to be an Isur Rabbanan. Why does it have to be an Isur Rabbanan? Because Shemin HaTorah Azlinan Bata Ruba Delav Nifalim. He says, if it were Torah, for the Torah problem of eating a Nafel, he says most animals You shouldn't have to wait 8 days. The requirement to wait 8 days is only Darabanan. Since it's only Darabanan, we're allowed to use the easier level of 7 days, the easier level of a definition of what counts as 7 days. So then this shoot had wondered, and Shut Shivatzion had wondered, what would he say about the Dagol Miravava? Dagol Miravava was a commentary in Shulchan Aruch. And Dagol Miravava had said that it's got to be Min HaTorah. And the answer was, it's not a question, because that the Rambam holds that it's Min HaTorah. And the answer was, it's not a problem, because he can rely on the fact that it's still Zorosh. Now, I just want to point out that Dagol Miravava is the Note of Yehuda. So, just something that I lost in translation here. But the point is, the Note of Yehuda in a tshuva says that you can do it for 7 days because it's Darabanan. And then elsewhere he had said that it was Min HaTorah. And he says, yeah, in Min HaTorah part was the if you're going to follow the Rambam. And the Darabanan part is you're going to follow Tosfos Rosh, but you're allowed to follow Tosfos Rosh. And he says, then the Ravad Yosef says, and the truth is, even in the Rambam, it's not a milta psikta. It's not a completely obvious matter that he holds that eating an animal that has been shechted within 8 days is a problem in Min HaTorah, because the Gra thought that it wasn't true. So, not that we necessarily agree with the Vilna Gaon, but that provides more material, more fodder for the claim that we hold this Drabanan. If we can hold this Drabanan, then we can rely on all sorts of leniencies that we've said. We mentioned before, in another tshuva, that even if we say that it's prohibited Min HaTorah, because maybe it's a Nefel, if you have a well-established way to know that it's not younger than 8 days old, such as through the teeth. So even though it's even if it's non-Jews who are telling us about it, so the Radvaz held that we can rely on it even on a Doraisa, because it's a Milta Davida Legluye, like we said before, that it's a matter that is going to become well known and found out, and people don't lie about those things, and they relied on that Yerushalayim. And then he goes on, and since many posts hold this Rabbanan, and as he said before, there's a Miuta Demiuta, so all those factors together, he thinks, come together and allow us to rely on the non-Jews' testimony about that for shechting it, even on the basis of these ideas. So given all those factors and all those reasons he says, it's a chorus of later authorities, like a chain of prophets, meaning that we trust their judgment in halakhic issues, and they say that we can rely on these simanim. So even though he's not quite positive, we can rely on the simanim, right? Because if it's all right, though, you should be able to rely on the simanim, but some say you can't. Therefore, the custom that people have, and he was the person he was answering to, that they rely on this for these purposes, is a good and valid custom. So that's his tshuva for the 23rd of Cheshvan. It raises interesting issues of who we trust and who we don't trust in halacha, and what kind of testimony we're allowed to trust and not trust. And it talks about biological issues, how and when we can trust on biological signs that people have established, and whether they're considered ironclad or not. And that becomes an issue of whether we can trust them for halachic, for biblical issues, or only for rabbinic issues. So I thought all of those were interesting things. Let me just really, really briefly close with not even the whole tshuva at all, but it's a very short tshuva, and I'm excerpting it from Igros Moshe. It's sort of a bonus. You don't find out about it until you get to the end of the tape. So if you're listening now and you get to the bonus, feel like you got an unannounced bonus. So it should in the Igros Moshe in Evan Ezra Chelik Dalad, the fourth time he came to Evan Ezra issues, where Moshe Feinstein was asked about a half a year before New York State passed a get law. This is from the 23rd of Cheshvan of Tufshin Mem, 23rd of Cheshvan in late in 1979. The question was whether you can include, now he writes in the Tanaim, but we don't really use Tanaim anymore, but Tanaim were originally a document where before a man and a woman got married, they had the conditions that were going to the wedding, who would provide the wedding, who would provide this, who would provide that. It was sort of like what the ketubah was originally meant to be, but now it could be a Tanaim, right? All those kinds of things. So the question was, could you include in that? We would today call it a prenup. Could you include the prenup that if a certain Beit Din determines that the husband should give the wife a get, that the secular authorities can coerce him in some way, can require him to give the get? And that eventually, that was what the get law was. The get law allowed, and there were different versions of it, I don't remember each version, but allowed courts to take into account the need for a get in their determination about child support and things like that. The whole big question was, and this comes up unfortunately a lot in the questions of getting, is whether that's considered improper coercion of the husband. So it struck me importantly because I have thought about these issues a lot, and I'm bothered by how they're handled sometimes. Rav Moshe, in this tshuva, says very clearly he does not think that if it's in the Tanayim, if it's in the prenup, that a Beit Din determines that if a couple is separated and they're getting divorced, that the husband is required to give her a get, that if a court, if the non-Jewish court is going to then require him to do so and force him to do so, that is not improper coercion, and that would be a fine get, there wouldn't be a problem. He just says, but make sure that you know them well, that by asking them about these questions before the wedding, you're not going to hurt the marriage in some way. You know, like sometimes in the secular world, when you write a prenup, one side or the other gets very insulted that you're already thinking about divorce. So he says, be careful about those kinds of things. But as a halachic issue of gittin, he doesn't seem to have a problem with it. So I thought that was an interesting thing, and it was also the 23rd of Cheshvan, so I just popped it in here. So this is Gideon Rothstein, responsible day for the 23rd of Cheshvan. Have a great day.